This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Giants.
You're listening to the Best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
You'd like to just draft, be able to draft the best player on the board. And two of those best players are Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, the edge rusher from Penn State. And he is a monster. He is literally a monster. And whoever gets him is going to be lucky to get him. And if those two teams at the top of the draft decide not to take quarterbacks, or if they do take quarterbacks, if Abdul Carter is sitting there at number three, what do you think the Giants are doing?
Do they have Matt Stafford as a quarterback?
That's a good question.
Now, that would be the way to go, wouldn't it? I mean, I would be so fired up about the Giants if they drafted Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or one of those guys and then had Matt Stafford as a quarterback.
Right, they're going to have one of four players sitting there. You know that. So it'll either be one of the quarterbacks will be sitting there, Travis Hunter will be sitting there, or Abdul Carter. Why are they showing him against Maryland? I mean, Steven,
well, you know why.
Do we have to see this?
You know why.
I don't need to see this.
I mean, this guy.
Ooh, those Maryland uniforms are awesome, though.
I know that. That's what I was going to say. I was like, at least they showed with the helmet that you love.
Yes.
The Giants. I don't think Matt Stafford's going to come here. And I saw there was some Giants fans that were, smart Giants fans I've seen before send tweets to me or posts to me that don't like the Matt Stafford thing. We can't do that. You know, why are you going to give him all these years? I mean, are you guys nuts? There is a definite, like, football derangement thing going on here. I'm telling you, because
I mean, both fan bases,
yes,
have been hit over the head with the idiot stick.
I really believe that because of all the losing. Now, the Jet fan, you could give, that's an excuse. Like, they've been through so much. Like, if they've got their derangement syndrome, then fine. But the Giants fan should still know better. Even though it's been a long period of time that they've stunk, they've had a lot of success. They should know better. Like, and with the Jet fan, they're thinking, oh, man, Aaron Rodgers, we got to have him back. Oh, he was so good at the end of the year. I mean, he wasn't really that good. You guys have just been down for so long, and you watch Zach Wilson play quarterback, and Mike White was a savior for you guys for three games. He really wasn't. I mean, he was okay, but he was hurt most of the time, and it just, I mean, he wasn't that good. And then here with the Matt Stafford thing with the Giant fans, like, oh, we can't bring a guy like that. And he crazy.
Yeah, but you have to remember the Giant fans know where their success has come from. Their success has come from two terrific head coaches in Bill Parcells and Tom Coughlin, who both drafted their own quarterbacks, Phil Sims and Eli Manning. So I think if you are a Giant fan, you're trying to recreate that. And if you're a Jet fan, you know, you're hoping that Aaron Glenn has that little spark of Bill Parcells in him because he's been around them. He's been around his coaches, whether it be Sean Payton or Dan Campbell. And you're hoping that that is going to take hold inside that Jet building over there. And it was going to be impossible to do that with Aaron Rodgers. So that, you know, I think that's kind of like what both fan bases are hoping for. They want to draft their success, you know, their quarterback that's going to be here for 10 to 12 to 14 years.
All right, now tell me if, because this is a take that someone who hasn't been in an NFL locker room would have. So tell me if I'm off base with this. So I saw a number of people who are either covering the Jets or Jets fans yesterday say that they thought because of the reaction of some of these players, these Jets players, about Aaron Rodgers not coming back, specifically Quinnen Williams, that Aaron Glenn is walking in there in a situation where already the locker room doesn't like what the new regime is doing, and that could be a bad thing. Now, my response to that is, I don't give a crap what those guys think, because they have stunk. This organization is in the toilet again. That defense was a joke for most of the year, and they were the most disappointing football team in the league last year. So what they think in there and what they think is the right thing to do means nothing. So I am happy that they don't like what Aaron Glenn is doing, because they don't know what winning is. And Aaron Glenn, over the last couple of years in Detroit, even though I didn't think he should have been hired, but still, over the last couple of years in Detroit, knows what winning feels like and knows what winning is, and when nobody on that roster does it.
And those first couple of years in Detroit were not very good until they drafted right and they got the right players and they signed the right free agents.
Remember, and Ben Johnson became the offensive coordinator.
Well, they were drafting offensive and defensive linemen, and they made a key trade at wide receiver. They found Amon-Ra St. Brown in the middle rounds. They brought in David Montgomery to pair with Jahmyr Gibbs, who they drafted high in the first round. You remember that whole pick was like, oh, I can't believe they're taking a running back.
Yeah, well,
and he turned out to be a real difference maker for them. So there are a lot of things that Aaron had to go through early on in Detroit, and it came out on the other end smelling like roses until everybody started to get hurt.
So what do you think of that take, though?
You know, my thing would be this. If you really, I'm going to be really totally honest about this. You know, there's a Rooney Rule in the league for a reason, and that is to give black coaches an opportunity to become a head coach. And here is a player who was a great player when he played for the Jets, who wanted to be here and got an opportunity, maybe because of the Rooney Rule, maybe it was because, you know, he actually fought his way to the top, started at the bottom as a scout, and made it all the way to the top. Every single one of those players in that freaking locker room, black or white, should appreciate, you know, his story and respect who he is for what he has accomplished. And I would think I would go through a wall for that guy, assuming that when he starts opening meetings and we start finding out who we are as a team and how organized we're going to be, then he's going to be the ultimate leader for us. That's, I mean, and to think anything else other until you get into those meetings and get on that practice field and show any sort of negativity towards this hire, you're an ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just, like, this is what it's all about. This is what you want. You want a guy who, number one, wanted the job. Number two, played for the organization. It's kind of like Vrabel up in New England. He's the perfect guy for them. This could be the perfect guy for the Jets. I hope it is.
Yeah, and I just don't
think they're going to have a lot of success initially just because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah, I mean, and these guys should know by now the way that they've seen everybody jettison. Their head coach was fired before the season was over. The general manager was fired before the season was over. It's a volatile time, and it's a business, and things like this happen. And there was not a lock that you had Aaron Rodgers coming back, and I'm with you. I mean, Aaron Glenn's sitting up there talking passionately about the Jets. They're trying to turn this thing around, and they decided that Aaron Rodgers wasn't the right quarterback or right player for them right now in year one. So support it. I mean, everything that was going on prior to this was a massive failure. So you're trying something new.
Aaron Glenn has everything going for him. Right now, he has everything going for him. And these players should appreciate everything he's gone through to get to where he is right now. He has made it. He's the pinnacle of success. So now it's up to him to prove to those players that he's going to be buttoned up. And he just hired a game management coach from the Giants, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is a good hire. And every coach, by the way, not just Aaron, every coach should have those guys. And, you know, Frank Reich used to tell me all the time, I had a guy in my ear that was my analytics guy during the game, and he would know the flow of the game, and we'd decide, do we go for it on fourth down? Do we go for 2 points?
Who was it that they hired to do that?
From the Giants. They got him from the Giants.
Yeah, I know. I want to get
Berger,
his name right.
I want to say Berger is the last name.
Yeah, you might be right. Well, anyway, I'll look it up later.
And every head coach should have one of those guys. Bill Belichick had one of those guys for the longest time.
Yeah.
He was in his ear. We should let him score here because the only way we're going to get the ball back and maybe win this game is if we tie it with a touchdown.
Smart.
You know, that's the kind of thing that you got to have in your ear if you're a coach, because there's a million things going on during the game. The Aaron Rodgers saga is finally over. It is finally over, and unfortunately for Aaron, it didn't work out the way that he wanted it to, and certainly didn't work out for me the way that I wanted it to. It didn't work out for Brett Favre the way that he wanted it to. I think Vinny had a modicum of success here and then blew out his Achilles. I mean, and this brings me like to the Giants and whether or not they are really actively trying to acquire Matthew Stafford. I mean, the point being is, look, guys, it's great, and I know that the guys want to win, and I know he's a great player, but you're talking about a 37-year-old that's looking for a contract extension. Does it really, truly make sense?
Ton of stuff.
Does it? I mean,
I like the idea, actually. I do.
I mean, again, how much is he going to want? How is that going to impact your salary cap? I think he's a really good player. You're going down the road of a 37-year-old quarterback. Mm. Paying him north of $40 million a year, which is what it's going to take, to me just does not sound like, if you want to win next year, maybe I guess you could get a wild card depending on the draft and maybe some other free agents you're able to acquire. But I mean, I just think like if you, I see Matthew Stafford like in Vegas. I don't know why I see that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could see him in a lot of places, and I'm not worried about, like, he just turned 37, so it's not like he's going to be 38 when the season starts.
When I turned 37, that was old. I remember reading, like, when I was 35, 36, and 37, well, you know, I was 35, he's 36, you know, so he's getting up there in age. Like, and now 37 is like the new 27.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. More like the early 30s, because you have guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady that have played into their 40s. You know, when Aaron Rodgers was 36, 37, he was still winning MVPs, and then the Jets acquired him when he was 40, 41, which is, it's different than 37 and 36. And it's not a realistic thing, in my opinion, unless the Giants are the only team that wants to give him the contract extension, because I don't think that he's going to want to be a part of the Giants. They've been terrible for so long. Does he really want to take on that type of rebuild at this stage of his career? If the money is right, maybe. But there will be another team, whether it's the Rams, the Raiders, the Steelers, somebody will give him the contract he wants. It's in a better situation than the Giants are.
I agree with that. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, Brian Daboll's offense. What kind of offense does he like to run?
Well, he does like to have a mobile quarterback.
He likes to have an RPO offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what he did with, of course, Josh Allen. That's what he tried to do with Daniel Jones. You know, he was also trying to do that, you know, last year a little bit with the guys he had. But I don't know. I just, to me, as much as I understand why the Giants would consider it, if in fact they are considering it, I would understand that, because the fan base would, I think it's probably split 50-50 that maybe you can do it and maybe you can win immediately. But let's just take a look at the division that you're in and look at the quarterbacks that you're playing. So you got Dak Prescott, Jaden Daniels, and Jalen Hurts. So you're going to add a 37-year-old quarterback who may get a few injuries. And, you know, it's just you're talking about older players and you're talking about paying them a lot of money. It's one thing if you're getting Matthew Stafford $1.5 million. I'm all for that.
Well, like Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I would be all for that.
Yeah.
100% all for that. If that's the alternative and that's your stopgap guy, and then you got another guy in a hopper, then I'm talking about, like, I can live with that.
All right.
But if you have to trade for a guy, and that trade includes a high second-round pick, and then you got to pay the guy, that's a whole nother set of circumstances that maybe the Giants would want to do that because they would think that would make them immediately competitive.
Well, yes. You know what I love about us on this Valentine's Day?
What?
I love that there are times where I'll say something and you'll put it in a different way. And I go, you know, when you put it that way, I can understand. And I feel like when I do that, you go, you know, like with the Bill Belichick girlfriend thing and showing up with all the rings, you're like, I don't know why he's doing that. And he said, it's a big F you to the owners. And you're like, you know what? When you put it that way, I understand. So we're not too prideful in those situations.
No, we defer to the other guy.
Exactly. So I'm going to try to do that here. And hopefully you say, you know, when you put it that way, I understand. Doesn't mean you would agree with the Giants, but this is why I think they're seriously considering it. Two reasons. And one is a scenario that you brought up a couple months ago when the season was ending and going into next year and keeping Daboll and Chain. All right, what happens if you draft a rookie quarterback? You got a stopgap guy that stinks. You're 1-7 again. What do you think is going to happen?
They're going to fire the guys.
Exactly.
And then that rookie quarterback, whoever it is going to have to start over with a new team, yes.
Okay. And
I
then,
mean, a new coaching staff.
Right. And not only that, I mean, you're thinking Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are like, I got to somehow keep my job. And if they don't think that Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders is going to be Jaden Daniels in year one, then they're like, we're just basically walking the plank right now. It's a matter of time. And then also, you know, we could say what we want about the Giants and the Saquon thing being dead, even though it gets brought up everywhere nationally, you know, whether it's Jimmy Fallon or whatever stupid late night show that they're on talking about the Giants thing. There is more pressure than ever on this regime than any other regime since Tom Coughlin, in my opinion, to not suck and be the embarrassment of the NFL next year. So when you tell me, look at the division, why are you going to bring this guy in here? Yes, because we can't compete any other way. Because what's the other option? We draft a quarterback and hope that he's Jaden Daniels, which the chances of that are slim with those two guys, especially because we've talked about how they're not that next caliber. Or you bring in a stopgap guy that's worse than Matthew Stafford. And then you're just keeping the seat warm for a guy who's going to have growing pains, and then you're fired at the end of next year. So Matthew Stafford to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll is a life preserver.
Yes, is the savior.
So that's why they would do it.
But if I'm the owner again, I'm like, you know, do we want to go down this road with a guy that really has no ties at all to our team? We have to trade for him. And it's probably be a second round and maybe a conditional pick next year, depending on how well it goes here.
Well, then I go into Joe Shane's office, and if John Mara's like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay the guy. It's too old. I saw what happened with the Jets. That's a similar thing. I don't want to do it. Then I would say to John Mara, if I'm Joe Shane, candidly, okay, are you going to stand by us when we go through this growing pains with this young quarterback? Are you going to stand by us, or are you going to be embarrassed again with a 1-7, 2-8 start, and then we're done at the end of the year?
Who was the guy that went from the Washington Nationals to the Angels?
Anthony Rendon.
Anthony Rendon. Okay. So the Anthony Rendon contract, which was a mammoth contract, people were shocked that he got the contract that he got, basically has negatively impacted all the guys trying to line up now at that same age getting those contracts. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was written by one of the baseball writers, and it made a lot of sense to me how it negatively impacted, Pete Alonso's negotiations and all these guys that now are in their 30s expecting 6-7 year deals, and they just didn't get them.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's looking at that Anthony Rendon contract going, man, what a mess that was. Here's my other side of this whole thing is that you are going to hamstring your salary cap to a certain extent, depending on what kind of money you would have to give somebody like Matthew Stafford. And you're also, you know, going to be losing a very valuable draft pick, of course.
It wouldn't be their first round.
And what happens if that team goes, you know, 7-10 next year? which is just as likely with Matthew. I don't know. You know, as much as I admire him, like him, appreciate him, know that he can throw in any conditions, to me it seems like going to Vegas would make a little bit more sense for me for him. Because that, you know, that's another division where you're looking at the quarterbacks and you're looking at the coaches and you're going, oh my God, this is going to be, you know, you got Harbaugh and you got Herbert out here. You got Reed and you got Mahomes out here. I mean, you got Bo Nix and Sean Payton out here.
Yeah, well, but also, you know, Matthew Stafford and Kelly Stafford made it clear in her comments, you know, they got their Super Bowl. They spent many years in Detroit as losers on that team, went to L.A., they got their Super Bowl. Right now, what is important to him is the contract. So I don't think that he's necessarily going to look at these teams and say, oh, what's the best place to win? He's going to say, which team is going to pay me the money that I want to get paid? Because I've got this is my last contract. And the team, you know, they're going to say, hey, I'll give you 37, 38, 39. You pay me like one of the top quarterbacks in the league, and I'll give you that performance to end the career. So that's really what's, and by the way, prior to Aaron Rodgers, there had been a lot of examples of top-level quarterbacks going to other teams and having success. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, you know, Brett Favre was 8-3 here, got hurt, went down the tubes, but then went to Minnesota, took him to the championship game. It was a 12-4 team. He had one of his best seasons. So there's a lot of examples of that. Aaron Rodgers came to the Jets, got caught in the Jets quagmire, and then drowned in the quicksand.
Well, he didn't help himself either.
But. Yeah, so
I mean, you have Matthew Stafford, who's made $365 million in his career. And maybe this is the last bite of the apple for him. So maybe it's like a 3-year, you know, $120 million contract that will give him, he'll be the richest guy in the history of the league up to this point, with the amount of money that he has pocketed and has made. And this is, you know, when they were in the middle of the season and they were talking about Matthew Stafford, I told you he was going to want a new contract at the end of the year. And the question is, are the Rams going to want to put up with this whole thing again? And I told you about the off the field stuff with his wife. You know, they're not happy about any of that crap either. Like, you know, they have taken care of him. They've paid him a lot of money. He helped them win a Super Bowl, okay? You know, we're not erecting a statue of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're going to erect the statue of anybody, it's going to be Aaron Donald, because he's going to be our Hall of Fame player.
Damn right.
And I think that, you know, Matthew Stafford would be a Hall of Fame player, but you got to take into account a lot of his games and most of his games came in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So I you know, the whole thing with, you know, when you get Matthew, you get the whole package now that you're going to have to deal with if you're a coach.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
BT Itzel back on the Fan. Yesterday, BT, we did mention it with the Michael Strahan waving the Eagles flag, which I thought was a bit much. It crossed the line to me. I don't know why Strahan was doing that. Like, what good is going to come of that for him? And we also heard from some of his teammates speaking out. Amani Toomer made some headlines yesterday, what he had to say about Strahan.
I was very surprised about that. Listen, I don't know Michael Strahan very well. I mean, I don't know him at all. I know Amani fairly well. I really like Amani Toomer. But I was stunned at that. That was a ridiculous take for me.
A Toomer was saying that he agreed.
Basically having Strahan's back with this. And if you missed it, basically the gist was, you know, Amani and even Strahan saying this to an extent, like, hey, you know, it's up to them to get their act together. It's, you know, not up to us to just carry the water for a bad franchise, which I do agree with. Of course, the Giants have been a train wreck here. But there are certain just lines that... You don't cross over. And, you know, for somebody like Strahan not to see it, for somebody like Amani, who is so uber competitive, he's ridiculously competitive in a good way. I don't know how he glossed over that and rubber stamped what Strahan did. That's mind boggling to me.
It's just stupid.
What are we doing?
It's just out of touch. I don't understand how you could think that that's okay. As a former Giant, forget Toomer for a second. I'm more concerned about Strahan here, although I was surprised that anybody would back him up. Like I get it in theory. Yeah, the Giants think it's their own fault. That doesn't mean you should go out there waving the flag of the Eagles. You want to say, and we talked about this yesterday with Tran, you want to say you want to root for Saquon Barkley? Understood. He was a Giant. He's a great guy. You want to root for him? Totally have no issues with that. You want to pick the Eagles? You want to say that you want the Eagles to win the Super Bowl? No problem with that. When you start waving the flag of a team that is the rival of a team that your number is retired and you're on the Ring of Fame, whatever you want to talk about. Like, that is just... You think Eli Manning would ever even consider
doing it? Not a chance in hell.
Of all the bits that they do on TV, I guarantee you'd be like, are you out of your mind? They'd never do that. Derek Jeter would never do that. You think, by the way, if a Nick did that, James Dolan probably wouldn't let him back in a building.
Well, think about how much, you know, heat some of the Knick players caught, especially Carl Anthony Towns, when he was wearing the Eagles sweatshirt on the bench.
Right.
And it's not like he's a former Giant.
Correct.
And he still got lit up by many people, including you. So, listen, and I don't think you were wrong in that. It didn't bother me as much, but I certainly knew where you were coming
from. In Philly, no less.
No, I know.
It's not just that you wore an Eagles thing, which is, you're a New York team. You wore an Eagles thing in Philadelphia when your team is playing the Sixers.
It was down there.
Dude.
Listen, if I've got to assign blame, like levels of culpability here, and I don't want to make this like state secrets and, you know, espionage, whatever, so serious, but if I've got to assign those levels of blame, I think I might surprise you with this. Ironically, I'm bothered more by Imani's comments. I'll tell you why. Because Strahan, you know, and he doesn't play the goofball on TV. I'm not trying to just, you know, talk out of school and sound like a lunatic here. But sometimes you can get wrapped up in doing goofy things for TV.
Yes.
And again, I don't exonerate him for doing it. It's awful. You can't do that from a Giants perspective, wave that stupid Eagles flag. But all right, you're wrapped up in the moment. Super Bowl, your boy Saquon. We all respect Saquon. I get it. He's a great person. But it was a little bit of a goofball act. And all right, he got wrapped up in the moment. Imani, I believe was the next day on a radio interview when he was, you know, he had time to compartmentalize and he wasn't doing it for TV. He was just giving his reaction to what a former teammate and a great champion of his, like Imani himself, what like his interpretation of it. So I almost think that I would be more offended by Imani saying it's okay than Strahan actually doing it. I know that sounds twisted.
Yeah, to me, here's why. I think Strahan, he's smarter than that. Like, what good is coming of Strahan waving that flag? I really don't care what Imani Toomer says. That's why maybe I don't have a big deal or a big issue with it. I was surprised that he wouldn't just come out and take the layup and be like, yeah, Michael can't do that. He went too far by waving the Eagles flag, but he felt like he wanted to have his voice heard. And by the way, if he did say that, we wouldn't be talking about it, right? So the fact that people are talking about what he said afterward, maybe that's what he wanted. Who the
hell
knows?
I'd be like, that a boy, Imani, that was great. That's what he's supposed to do.
It probably wouldn't have made news as much as it does when you're sticking up for Strahan. My thing with Strahan is like, all right, the producers go to you with that idea. Like, what good is coming from Strahan from that whole thing?
I honestly don't know.
There isn't any. You're only going to annoy the fans that love you. I would not be shocked the next time he goes there to be honored for whatever it is that the Giants are doing, rolling him out there, that he gets booed for that. And he should get booed
maybe
for that.
Maybe he should get booed.
Now, you can't be waving an Eagles flag.
Yeah.
Come on,
honestly, that was just that's the height of like,
and by the way, like
rivalry stuff, that is a breach of love. Can't do that.
We've had some fun like with me wearing the Islanders jersey and all that stuff, and because I had somebody bring this up to me yesterday while I was ripping Strahan. It was off the air.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, you wore the Islanders jersey. I go, I'm not a Rangers legend. I'm a fan. I'm an entertainer. Like, Michael Strahan is a Giants legend. There's a big difference if you wear a Lindor jersey for a bit, or
which
I wear a Yankee
to
jersey.
Pay off the bet.
Yeah, or I wear a Yankee jersey, which, by the way, you still got to make
gotcha.
Me pay off the bet.
Opening day.
Yeah, those are at the stadium?
Yes.
All right, those are different things than being, like, Strahan played for the Giants. He's an actual Giant legend spitting in the face of every Giant fan when you wave that flag.
What did Tiki say? I didn't see or hear any of Tiki's comments on this, and I need to know the answer.
I'd ask Hoff, but we might get bad info on that.
Wow. Hey, Hoff.
Hoff, did you hear what Tiki said? Do we know
I did it? Not. I heard what Tommy said.
Well, yeah, Tommy's I know Tommy's going on, but I care about what Tiki said.
Loogie!
I mean, listen, okay. We all have our opinions. Luka didn't play for the Giants. I want to know what Tiki said. I want to know, like, did Tiki... there's no way. I can't imagine. Now, Tiki has a very different delivery. You know, he's not like a nutball like we get sometimes. Yep. He's just different. And he's just a different speed. He's a great dude. I would be surprised and disappointed if Tiki took the position of Imani.
Right.
Like, I would need to hear. I don't mean you go nuts over the top.
Yeah,
but at least on some level, let everybody know that that's not cool. You can't be doing this.
I would bet that he had, that he went against Strahan because Tiki, remember, when Saquon left, Tiki was the one who said, you're dead to us.
Yeah, he was. He was kidding when he said that. But no, he said what people were thinking.
But I'm saying being one with the Giant fan as opposed to spitting in the face of the Giant fan like Michael Strahan did.
No doubt. Listen, and I can see, like, especially like when you and I first started TV, like when we were young.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that you ever do anything you don't want to do, but maybe you get pulled into a bit. You're like, all right, maybe the producer thinks it's great and it's actually idiotic, but because you're on TV for 6 months, you don't really know enough to, you know, or even if you know it, maybe you don't have the confidence to kind of tap the brakes because you don't have that kind of juice yet. What the hell does Strahan have to do that for?
Yeah.
He gets $30 million a year. He's a TV superstar. Why would you do that?
That's exactly right. And that's kind of what I'm saying about, like, what does he gained from that? He's already got
it
all.
He lost respect. He gained nothing. He lost respect is what happened.
He's got it all.
And rightfully so.
And ticked off the fans that love him, that built him into the star that he became.
Yep.
BT and Sal on the Fan. And I'm not taking away from him, but God, that was just stupid, Stray. Come on, man. Should know better. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls when we come back. We're getting some baseball in the conversation. We'll have Howard Reynolds on coming up next hour. BT, start to get cooking a little bit.
Seeing the videos.
It is the week of spring training.
Everybody's showing up.
Yankees pitchers and catchers reporting today. So we'll talk to Harold Reynolds next hour and get our thoughts on the Mets and Yanks as well. BT and Sal on the Fan. majority of yesterday, BT, talking about the Jets quarterback situation. What about the Giants quarterback situation? As you're starting to get the feel more and more, we brought this up yesterday. You mentioned Matthew Stafford as a possibility for the Giants. Starting to get the feel now, especially after the Giants hired former Jaguars and Bills wide receiver coach Chad Hall as their assistant quarterbacks coach. He happens to be, you know, not only is he familiar with Dable and Shane, but he happens to be the brother-in-law of Matthew Stafford. Maybe Stafford a realistic possibility here to be the next Giants quarterback.
You know, it's funny. I mentioned this yesterday here, and the Giants have a lot of options. I don't love the options. That's the problem. Like, options are good, but if there's nothing that and again, this is just me, that I see as a home run fix, then it's just a lot of options that might not equate to what we needed to equate to, and that's eventually competitive, high-octane football for the Giants. And then the Stafford stuff kind of came across the plate. I mentioned this yesterday. Remember, I mentioned this, and...
Did you mention it yesterday?
I know. I said that like 3 times. Jeez, what are you doing? Looking for a pat on the back? My God, I don't know why I said that so many times. I actually forgot that I said it before.
You did bring it up yesterday.
I did bring it up yesterday. Yeah. I brought it up because I thought it was, number one, I think it's interesting. Number two, I think it's real. Now, as a complete deal killer, there's no way that the Giants give up the third overall pick for him. There's no chance that happens, clearly, right? So if you were to bring in Matthew Stafford, and I do believe that the Rams are done, that the Rams are done with Stafford, and I know they're done with Cooper Kupp. Can I see a situation here next year where you have Stafford, you have Kupp, you have Neighbors, you have a young, cheap, explosive running back? I could. And to me right now, Sal, that is a lot more appealing than throwing a dart and hoping Sanders is the guy who more and more I don't think that he is. There's other layers I don't want to just keep going on, but like if they actually were to get Stafford, then that third spot becomes such a pivotal, you know, a place of power where if you're not going quarterback, now you could trade out, now you could take the best available, the corner, the run stuffer. Like there are some interesting options here because of Stafford.
So his availability, I was just asking Hoff this. Hoff, he's a under contract but has an opt-out this year?
He has an opt-out right now.
Okay, yeah. So if he opts out, that's when he becomes a free agent. They're obviously not going to trade for him, so that I wouldn't think that's ridiculous. So he opts out and then the path to free agency, Giants have some money. The more I thought about this last night and then again this morning, I think it's a great fit. Because if you don't, now I don't know what the Giants are thinking. If they love Cam Ward or if they love Chador Sanders, we can only go based off of what we're hearing, who we talk to, people in the know, common sense. It seems like these quarterbacks, it would be a reach to take them with the top three picks or whatever, the first quarterbacks. That's like almost the consensus to everybody, outside, inside the game, whatever. Let's say the Giants don't love Ward or Sanders. They like them, don't love them. Mm-hmm. Then I think I'm in alignment with you that you go get Matthew Stafford, assuming he opts out and is a free agent because you're not trading anything for him. You go get him as a free agent. You have the cap space. He's 37 years of age and a proven veteran quarterback. It's something that, like, he's not going to take you to another level.
Well, no, he would.
I shouldn't say that. I mean, he's not going to take you to the ultimate level, be the franchise quarterback that's going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback with the New York Giants, mm-hmm. but he does elevate where the Giants are at immediately and makes them respectable, at least from the quarterback position, some stability, a proven winner, and then makes it a little bit easier to build out the rest of the team when you're not chasing that quarterback and also not starting a rookie quarterback.
Well, are we so sure that he couldn't elevate the Giants to a championship level?
I don't believe so.
Okay, I probably don't either, but he did it with one team, and he almost did it again this year.
But he's 37.
Understood.
He did it with McVay and with that. And I didn't even think they were that good then, to be honest with you. I mean,
I didn't either, but I think a lot of it was because of Stafford. Yeah. You know, and obviously McVay's innovation, but I think Stafford elevated them to a level that they probably didn't really belong at based on the rest of their talent.
Well, it's not the franchise. Maybe the better way to say it is it's not the franchise quarterback that I would be looking for. You know, meaning like you just pencil them in, that's it, and give you the hope. Like, you know, like Jaden Daniels a year ago, or the thought of Cam Ward or Sanders being the guy and bringing that excitement. That's not what this is. But if you strip away that excitement and say, well, he's 37, just turned 37, which means he should have at least a couple of good years left.
His arm talent's still elite. It really is.
So imagine building that foundation, and maybe to your point, he can elevate them to a playoff level, who knows? So you build that foundation while also not only building up the rest of the team, but still searching and not forcing your hand at the next quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, Sal, you tell me who played better. Was it Matthew Stafford in the snow against the Philadelphia Eagles, or was it Patrick Mahomes in a dome against the Eagles?
Yeah, so, I thought Stafford played a terrific game.
He did. I mean, he really did. That last throw that got away from him, I mean, it was really tough weather. It just kind of slid out of bounds. But he was making some tight window, tough throws against a great defense, obviously the Super Bowl champions now. And, you know, Stafford is used to going to situations that are fairly moribund. He was drafted by the Lions. He had some early injuries. He certainly elevated them, not to the highest level, but he definitely pumped some life into them. I just think he's got, I think he's an easy leader. I know he's got a rocket for an arm. And I the only thing that I would have to wrestle with, and I want you to get first crack at this, like, if you make a move like this, you know, like the Jets making the move for Rodgers, now it didn't work out, but, you know, go back a couple of years ago, the Jets made that move because they thought they were a Rodgers away from maybe messing around and winning a championship, or at least being there in the mix to do so. Do we believe, now we know that Stafford would make them much better and certainly viable, but when you look at the state of the NFC East, let alone the NFC, is it worth it at his age and with the rest of the Giants roster? Yeah, that's the important question.
Okay, is it worth it? Well, what are the other options?
Draft a kid at 3.
Okay, well, that's why I say I think it's, to me, it all comes down to what they feel about this quarterback class. Like, if I were Brian Daboll and I loved Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, I'm doing whatever, same thing for Joe Shane, I'm doing whatever I can to get one of those two guys. I'm not saying, well, Stafford's better. If I don't absolutely love one of those two guys, I'm like, eh, then I'd say, here's what the best plan is. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're weighing all these options, and they go over it the same way we're talking about it.
Yep.
Just they have the expertise. We don't necessarily.
Do they? I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, at some point they have to start showing it.
Yeah.
But they would weigh the options. Okay, do we, quote unquote, reach for, let's say, Shedeur?
Uh-huh.
Or go get Stafford where you know what you're getting. That's what I love about Stafford. I've never loved Stafford as a quarterback. I thought he was overrated. He's going to be a Hall of Famer because he won the Super Bowl, put up big, gaudy numbers, whatever. But I've always thought he's overrated. But we know what he is. He's a pro quarterback who can help you win games immediately, be a leader, all those different things.
I think he's terrific.
Yeah.
I think he's terrific.
He's a good, very good player. Now, at 37, okay, there's some question marks, but he's far better than any of the other options. Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins, even Justin Fields, like any of those options.
And that's where I was going.
Right. So to me, he seems the most known commodity. Rodgers, throw him in there. I think Stafford's a better option at this particular point, especially for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So of all the other options, I think he's the best. The only question is, do you love the idea of Ward or Sanders and their potential versus the known commodity of Stafford at 37?
That's a very subjective thing. That's a very individual thing. Myself, I don't. I like Cam Ward better than Sanders, and I don't even love Cam Ward. And, you know, the Shedeur Sanders stuff has nothing to do with, you know, the Deion stuff or, you know, whether it's, you know, maybe a bit of a misplaced ego in college. I mean, I don't get too wrapped up in that. He grew up with Deion's son. He's going to know how to comport himself, how to work hard. He's going to be a pro. I'm not worried about
that.
Right,
we think he's good.
Yeah, but I just don't know if he's good enough. Right. I really don't. I don't love the conference he played in. I don't love his throwing mechanics. He's not an elite athlete. He's not, like, his measurables, he's not like 6'5 or 6'4, 230. He's not. He's kind of counter to a lot of the explosive quarterbacks now, where he's a good athlete, but he's not amazing. So really, it comes down to this. At number 3, and you nailed it, do you love Sanders or do you love Cam? Now, if you love Cam, I think you're going to have to move up from 3 to 1 or 3 to 2 to get him. I don't think you're going to have to necessarily move up from 3 to get Shedeur. But I'll let them deal with that.
Right.
How do you evaluate the young quarterbacks? If the answer is lukewarm or below that, well, now you get to the next choice of options. And the next choice of options would be, what's the quickest way to elevate our franchise? Because now, if you don't draft the kid at number 3, you better start winning some games, which means you better get a quarterback who's going to get you in the end zone 25 to 30 times this year. And I know that Stafford would do that. I think Darnold would do that, but I think that the Raiders now are going to go after heavy for Darnold. I saw that today. Nobody else out there intrigues me enough. Maybe Justin Fields. Sal, the more I think about this, this should be a very viable play for the Giants.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wasn't really thinking, well, that, I mean, is a whole other level. And also, by the way, think about Stafford, a veteran quarterback, a proven quarterback, also helping along a young Malik Nabers or some of the younger guys.
Yeah.
That the Giants have. I think there's great value in it, even though I really wanted right now, and I wanted it last year, a franchise quarterback for the Giants, meaning one that we could hold our hopes on that could be the guy moving forward. I think there's a lot of appealing pieces to bringing in Stafford to this team right now. They could fit him in with the cap. You get a proven veteran winner. The Giants, and specifically Shane and Dable, you know what the owner wants. They need wins now.
Yeah.
He could help them do that. And then, to your point, you could use that third pick to help Stafford and the rest of your team, whether it's a piece on the offensive line, a defensive stuff, whatever it may be, you know, whatever they decide to do with that third pick.
He could trade out at that point big time.
The only reason I would not want this option is if they love Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders.
It's a good read. Yeah.
If you love either of those two guys, then you do whatever it takes to get him.
Well,
if not, then Stafford, I think, is the second best option.
All right, I know people want to jump in on this. We'll get the calls, but why not? Let's at least throw this, because I don't know that we've included this as an option. We've given you three. If you love one of those kids, why not draft Sanders or Ward and get Stafford?
Well, to me, the issue is you're going to have to pay Stafford a significant amount of money.
Sure. You got the money.
And I would think that he would... Now, again, I'm sure he'd want to be a mentor, but you're talking about at least 2 years. Right, this is different from Rodgers because of the age. Jets got Rodgers at 39, right?
Yes.
Stafford's 37. So you're talking about
2 years. Just turned 37, yeah.
Also, Stafford's not going to be coming here to try to make this team a Super Bowl winner the way that the Jets thought they were getting Rodgers to be the finishing piece on a Super Bowl team. Meanwhile, they weren't even 500 team, so that was just so ridiculous. This is totally different circumstance, but I don't believe that it would benefit Stafford or the Giants or whoever they draft if they brought him in here with the idea of having to be the guy for the next 2 to 3 years while drafting one of those top guys. You want to tell me somebody later in the draft? I'm not opposed to that.
Why, though? You don't think that he would want to work under those conditions? Because it's not like Kurt Warner with Eli. I get you, but I think that Stafford's got more game at this point than Kurt. But then again, Kurt went to the Cardinals and played very well.
Right, he doesn't want to go. Well, I'm assuming he's going to want to go somewhere and play for the next 2 years.
He is going to play.
Right, so what are you going to do? Sit Sanders for 2 years? Like, to me, that's almost then...
A waste of a pick.
Well, you're half-weighing it. I'm a no gray area. I want to either, okay, this is the plan. Stafford... an additional player to help build this foundation and win.
Yeah.
We'll figure out the quarterback over the course of the next 2 years. Again, you could take somebody later, but I'm not taking a top pick. And if you were going to do that anyway, that means you love that player. And in today's day and age in the NFL, you want to get a read on what these guys are at the very least by year two.
Because of the money for the second contract. Right? But think about this, Sal. Like, if Kirk Cousins didn't just bomb the final 7 weeks of the season and Kirk Cousins had a Kirk Cousins, you know, vintage year, then the Falcons would have been doing what I'm saying. By the way, that's not my first plan for the Giants. I'd rather trade out and just, you know, a boatload of assets plus Stafford plus Kupp and move on from the third spot. But if Cousins was balling this year, then they would have had the same exact thing that you're saying that the Giants shouldn't want.
So here's the difference.
With Penix.
I don't believe Atlanta went into that draft looking to take an additional quarterback. One that they loved happened to be there, and they took him. So let's say that the Giants love Cam Ward but not Sanders, and somehow Ward falls to three. Then you want to convince me to take him? Okay, fair enough.
Okay,
I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
So we're open to pretty much four or five things here from the Giants' perspective.
Point is, I'm starting to get the feeling, and I think you're in agreement, that Stafford to the Giants,
I love him,
takes them up to a level of, you know what, maybe they can be respectable and compete immediately with the weapons around them and be a better team than we thought, which can help them maybe expedite the process here. BT and Sal on the Fan of getting back to respectability. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Brian is in Syosset. What's up, Brian?
Hey, bud.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys. You know, this Stafford thing's a great conversation to have, but the kind of elephant in my car right now is the while it's improved the offensive line, Stafford's not going to run the ball all over the field.
No.
You know, the one thing about Jones is at least he can take off. So, you know, even though a stopgap works no matter who we take, as long as he's decent, that's going to be a real problem. And if he's getting sacked all over the place early, it's going to be a big problem very quickly.
I hear you, and that's been a problem for the Giants forever. What's the difference, though? Wouldn't you rather, and maybe the answer is no, I think I would rather have Stafford behind a little bit of a suspect. By the way, you can always get one more guy, and it's going to be better next year. But I'd rather have Stafford behind a bit of a shaky old line than a kid like Cam Ward and Sanders, who don't even know what they're reading in front of them, where they could get sacked 45 times in a year, and they could be ruined. Stafford gets hit, Neil. He's used to getting hit.
I mean, the Giants' season, yet again, is going to come down to the health of Andrew Thomas like it always does, right? And not only that, that's another reason why I say, well, if you get Stafford, I want to use that third pick. I mean, if there's a stud lineman that they want, I mean, Abdul Carter is a appealing piece if he's there.
But, you think?
But yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So you just take the best player available, which should help you in other areas, and then maybe in free agency, if you take Carter, let's say, then in free agency, go out there and beef up the offensive line. Obviously, we know that with Stafford here, he's not going to be a mobile quarterback. That's never really been his game at all. So they got to figure out a way to get the ball out of his hands quickly or protect the quarterback better, and that starts with getting Thomas healthy. If he's not healthy, what are they supposed to do? They're going to be screwed again.
Yeah. Listen, but you're kind of like glossing over it. I actually think that they could get Cooper Kupp too. I think that those guys are so tight.
Here's why I'm glossing over.
I think Cooper Kupp would follow him here.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't, like, that does nothing for me. Just
Cooper Kupp's tremendous.
Yeah, but again, you don't win. I want inside out.
I got you.
It's just my fault. Like,
and fair.
Giants already have neighbors. I'm neighbors. I'm not saying Kupp wouldn't be a solid addition. But I want them to build inside out.
You don't want the Cadillac hood ornament. You want an engine that's going to purr.
Yeah,
I think you could do both is what I'm saying.
Maybe, but if you're telling me that it's either Stafford and a lineman or Stafford and Kupp, I want Stafford and the lineman.
I would agree with that, too.
That's just my thing.
I would agree with that.
And Cooper Kupp, whatever, at this point. I know he's banged
up last
year.
Cooper Kupp's still really good, dude.
Yeah, he's good. I know, I get it.
Yeah, it's like a number two, number three next to neighbors.
I'm curious why Stafford would be available. Like,
because they don't want to pay him.
Right, but why not?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I know, and you're right. Who cares? Because that's their problem. But just thinking through the logistics of why Stafford would be available, and if he were, why you and I, or people in New York would want him. Like, look at all the other options. They're all question marks, crappy. Even Fields is like, I'm not sure. Darnold, whatever. I mean, Kirk Cousins, God knows. So, like, if the Rams are going to move on from Stafford because they don't want to pay him, which I respect, then I would think that they're going to look to go in a younger, different direction.
Remember, they already had their Super Bowl, so they can already reset. They've got that built-in equity.
And they major problems with the cap, right? Because they trade all their draft picks. They sold their soul.
For about 5 or 6 years, they didn't have any first-round picks. They kept doing that for sure. And eventually, you got to pay the piper. You can only kick that cap stuff down the road so much. That's why the Rodgers thing, yesterday we said, I said, just take it all in 1 year rather than spreading out the $35 million in addition to next year. But I think that the Rams want to go younger, and here's the only problem that I see from a Giants perspective. When he opts out of his contract with the Rams, because of the flaws of all the other guys, you're going to have a massive bidding war.
Right.
But Stafford's getting paid again.
Which is why we say a fit for the Giants and not necessarily the Jets, because the Jets aren't going to have the cap space that the Giants could to pay that quarterback.
Correct.
You know what? Again, even just thinking this through, the Giants have been such a beaten-down franchise, mocked to the point where planes are flying over saying, fire everybody, sell the team, all that stuff. Stafford changes that immediately. I don't know how the results are going to be, but all of a sudden now you have a proven Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
Yep.
Doesn't come with the baggage, right or wrong, that Aaron Rodgers comes with.
I agree.
It's a good fit for them and what they would be trying to do, at least in the short term. Dan is in Belmar. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's up, guys? Loving this conversation. I agree with both of you. Stafford makes the most sense. He's not a crapshoot like Sanders will be or even Cam Ward will be. And it makes them competent and competitive immediately. And that's all we're asking for as Giants fans after watching this crap for, the past 5 years. Finally, you bring this guy in. If Kupp comes with him or he doesn't come with him, it doesn't really matter to me. But bring Kupp in too. Perfect. He still has an explosive arm and he'll unlock neighbors. He'll unlock Wandale Robinson and he'll unlock Jalin Hyatt. It'll be a perfect fit for the Giants and for Stafford.
Theo Johnson, too, who I really like. Right. I like him as a tight end.
Much better than Jalin Hyatt. I don't know if there's anybody that could unlock Jalin Hyatt, but Theo Johnson, yes. I like the way that the caller just said, and it's kind of like we talked about with St. John's, how I was saying, okay, well, can you be a legit contender in the Big East tournament? Check. Can you be a legit tournament
not sweating out selection Sunday.
Yeah.
Yep, you check.
And then, so there's levels of building it back up.
I agree.
With the Giants, you're not going to go from zero to, oh, my God, we're going to beat the Eagles. So this is a major step. If you could get Stafford, that brings you back to the caller's point, back to respectability, instant credibility, and some competency around here for a change. That's the next step. Then from there, they can figure out where they're going to get the franchise quarterback and how they're going to get to the next level. But let's take baby steps here. I think Stafford goes a long way in.
Listen, I'm totally with you. You and I totally agree. So far, Giant fans are really feeling this. I'm not surprised at all. If you watch the NFL, You know Stafford could still play. There is nothing to interpret. Does he still have the arm? Does his body hold? He is still a stud. And you're right. You're not going to go from the acquisition of Stafford to, you know, necessarily beating the Eagles regularly, Super Bowl champions. But I'll tell you what, you're not going to do either. You're not going to lose. You're not going to win one game in the NFC East. You're not going to, you know, have a point differential of minus 190. Like, you're not going to be embarrassed every single right. Sunday. And I do think a lot of people mess this up. They're like, well, if you're not building to win the Super Bowl, why bother? Like, why build, even though it's much more attractive than being a doormat, like, why build less than if it's not for the ultimate accomplishment? Well, I get that fundamentally, but there's nothing written that says, well, maybe they become a wild card team with Stafford, and then in a year or two, they stumble upon a franchise quarterback down the road. Like, I don't know, the Eagles did.
Right. Right. That's the
Let's exact, go, Giants.
There you go. That's the exact way to think about it at this point. BT and Sal on the Fan. 80.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So if you recall, during the long, endless pregame show of the Super Bowl over the weekend, Michael Strahan waved an Eagles flag. It really was a shock. I was sitting there playing with wrestling figures with my sons. I see that Strahan's interviewing Saquon Barkley, and then he waves the Eagles flag.
Whose side is he on?
That caused a major backlash. Sean was pissed about it. Loogie was even more pissed about it. Tiki was very calm and saying, hey, I would never do that. Probably shouldn't have done it. What do you get out of this? And I'm very confused, Sean, so maybe you can explain this to me, the audience, and Tiki. Amani Toomer's opinion on this was very different.
Yeah, he came to the defense of Michael Strahan in a weird way, trying to explain to the fans why Michael Strahan would do something like this from the player's point of view. Do you want to hear his answer?
Yes.
That's a shot towards across the bow. That's a warning shot. Because you know what? When we played, if we didn't perform, we'd be out, right? So now as players, I'm not just going to be your fan because I played there. You got to prove something to us. We are Giants through and through. But if, you know, you can't just say, oh, you're a Giant, you just shut up and sit in the corner, babysit in the corner. No, no. We want results.
That doesn't make any sense. Like,
I'll take you as an example, because, Teak, you work every day. We talk sports for a living. Yes. You have been, yes, throughout this football season, very critical of the New York Giants. We're just talking about Daniel Jones. I remember the day you came on the air and said, he ain't it. You were critical of the Giants. You're not waving an Eagles flag.
I know.
One thing has nothing to do with the other.
No, they're unrelated. This isn't about the Giants. I know everybody wanted to make it about the Giants. The only reason this is a Giant thing is because it's Michael Strahan, who's a Giant legend, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest to ever do it. But as a former Giant, you can't, even if it's for a joke, support, like, root for the Eagles.
Right.
That's what this came down to.
This has nothing to do with being critical of the Giants.
Right. You could say, I respect the Eagles. And you have to respect them. They've been dominant in the division for the last half a decade. They don't win it all the time. In fact, the division winner hasn't been the same for the last, what, 10 years?
That'll change next year.
No, you're right. But still, like, you give them credit for being good. You don't say, fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, that is.
Wave a flag. That's crossing a fan line.
Yes.
And it's not crossing a player line. I think maybe this is what Imani was trying to do. He's talking about from a player standpoint, and you understand from a player what another player is going through, and if you like that guy, you support him, right? But from a fan standpoint, you're crossing a line that is hard to come back over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's why the fans are so upset about this.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with, like, warning the Giants, I'm going to be critical now. Like, credit to Strahan. I watch him on Fox NFL Sunday. He's been critical of the Giants.
Of course he has.
He's a Giant fan. He's similar to you. You obviously love the Giants, but when you want to say something negative about them, you're going to say it. You don't work for the freaking franchise. You know, you just say it. Like, hey, the quarterback stinks, bench him. Hey, they got to move on. So it has nothing to do with that. So that's a weird answer.
And here's the thing. The fans themselves are fed up, frustrated. For the better part of a decade, it's been a lot of bad football. It's been a lot of turnover, coaches, general managers. But even the fans outside of Lawrence and Oklahoma aren't now going, yeah, I mean, let Saquon go. We definitely got to root for the Eagles. This idea that this Saquon Eagles stuff has led to not the understanding of you can hope for good things for Saquon, but also want the Eagles to lose, and somehow Imani Toomer interpreting that as us former players are taking a stand. You're not, you know, letting guys go because you want to let players go. Just separate the two things. The fans are just as frustrated as the former players are. That doesn't mean we go across enemy lines and do something dopey like wave a flag. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
My dad told me, and this is, I'm not comparing Saquon Barkley to this guy, but I want to give you a comparison on how you can do both. Tom Seaver being traded was, like, devastating. Mm. And what my dad told me is that when Seaver would come back as a Cincinnati Red and face the Mets, he would root for the Mets to win the game 2-1.
Yeah.
So he wanted Tom Seaver to pitch well. Right. He loved Tom Seaver. A lot of Met fans did. But at the end of the day, you want the team to win.
Right. The reliever gives up a 2-run home run.
Right. I know for more recent Met fans, when Mike Piazza came back as a Padre, and I've argued because I do not share this belief, but other Met fans did, they wanted Piazza to hit the 2 home runs he hit in his return game and have the Mets win. Like, oh, it's perfect. Piazza hits 2 home runs. The Mets win. I did not have that attitude, right. Teak. I was like, screw you, Mike. You're an enemy today. I want you to go 0-4 with 4 strikeouts.
Right.
What are we talking about? Same thing if DeGrom returns, and you know how much I love Jake. I hope the Mets pound them out of the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand at least saying, all right, I want them to perform well while getting the desired result. So if you said, look, I want Saquon to play well. I liked him as a Giant, but I want the Eagles to lose 38-35, you'd have to accept that. That's a fairer response. Yeah,
I just don't understand what the end game here is, like what Toomer's saying. What's next? So if they draft a quarterback he doesn't like and he's a bust, is Toomer going to put on a giant cowboy hat and do a line dance with their mascot? Like, what are we doing here? Like, rivals, what happened to the respecting the rival? I just don't get it.
What was the question that he was asked?
What did you think of Mike? Why would Michael Strahan, your former teammate, do something like that?
Yeah, I don't understand it. The context relative to what I think the question should
have been. No, I know. That's what bothers me. It was completely, like, not related to the subject. That's why when I first heard this, I was like, this just annoys me.
Right.
Because I don't know why.
But in some regards, what he's saying is right.
Yes, like, but it's not related.
Like, but, you know, as a fan base and as former players, like, it's a results business.
Right.
The Giants can't keep sucking. Eventually, former players are going to lash out at the team. That's what I felt like he was talking about.
But relative to the Strahan waving a flag, it makes no sense.
It has nothing to do with it.
That's not lashing out at the Giants.
Right. It's not lashing out at the Giants.
It sounded like he was trying to.
Yeah.
Like, we can't keep being terrible and expect all of us to keep supporting the Giants.
No, but I don't care how terrible you are. You don't root for your rival. The Giants could have losing seasons for the next 50 years.
That's why I wanted to know what the question was. Like, was it a nuanced question that maybe he was answering one part of a question and not the full part of the question? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, you know, this happens with any kind of interview. Somebody asks, like, a two-part question. And you end up answering it however you want to answer it. So I need context on what the question was.
I got you.
Because this doesn't sound like he's answering, what'd you think about, simple question, what'd you think about Michael Strahan waving the Eagles flag? That's all you ask.
That's right.
Now, if he lapped it on with like, oh, you know, the Giants and blah, 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 and then Strahan waves the Eagles flag, it could be an answer about the Giants, not an answer about Michael Strahan waving an Eagles flag.
Yeah, because that answer has nothing to do with Michael Strahan waving an Eagles flag.
Yes.
888-808-1019.
Thank God the season's over.
it's only going to get worse with Daniel Jones as a Jet leading him to victory. You got to admit, that would stick in you guys' cross just a little bit.
Evan, if I'd
actually would be happy for him.
Well, you're a classy guy. Those two aren't.
No, I would because I want Aaron Glenn to succeed, but I'm going to ask you right now. We got to give me one answer. More wins next year. Daniel Jones' Jets or Aaron Rodgers' Giants?
I've already told you, Rodgers to the Giants makes sense too.
Okay, so let's play the world both happens.
Who Daniel Jones is Jets. I think the Jets are a better team. Mm. Like, one simple thing about the Jets that I want to see change next
That's
year.
Interesting. I can't even think about what I would think
well,
about.
Well, the answer is the Jets. You know that.
But it's also is Daniel
it?
Jones.
You said something yesterday that I vehemently disagreed with, and I even mentioned it today. I don't want Kirk Cousins. I don't want the corpse of Kirk Cousins. There was, because I'm open-minded, one thought about Kirk that I like.
Yes.
And I'll explain this very quickly. So last year, one of my biggest issues with the New York Jets, and a lot of it was their offensive line and their run blocking's fault, is that they ran the football, like rushing attempts, dead last in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They were 32nd.
Yeah.
That cannot happen. That cannot happen when Breece Hall is on your roster. That cannot happen when Braylon Allen is on your roster. That cannot happen.
Yeah.
That needs to change.
I will. That is a little bit of a misstat because so many teams in the NFL now have quarterback rushing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jets had none of that. Like Aaron Rodgers as a rusher, it did not exist.
I agree.
So a lot of teams, when you look at the statistics, are going to be higher because their quarterbacks carry the ball a lot.
Totally agree. And I also think that the Jets at times would trot around the ball early and it would go absolutely nowhere and then they'd give up on
it. It's just because they don't have a quarterback that can take away a defender.
Right.
So, I mean, you kind of need that. Daniel Jones, by the way, provides that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right. But with Kirk Cousins, one of Kirk's skill sets that has always been loved is his play action pass.
Yes.
And if the Jets could get back to being a ground and pound team, which they should be.
Right. They have the running backs to do it.
No doubt. And I think their offensive line's only going to get better than having an elite level play action passer like Kirk Cousins could serve a benefit to them.
I agree with you.
But right now, if you ask me, Daniel Jones on the Jets, Aaron Rodgers on the Giants, who wins more games? Daniel Jones on the Jets. Your team's not any good, Sean.
All right, sure. No,
you disagree.
You guys have won a ton of games the last year.
I didn't say we won a ton of games. I didn't say that. I'm just saying the Jets are a better team.
I'm operating under the assumption we got a good draft coming, good
free agency. And what's your answer? Your answer is Aaron Rodgers and the Giants?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. I do. What's your answer, Tommy?
Listen, Aaron Rodgers has proven that he can't win football games anymore. So to me, if you gave me Rodgers and anybody, I'm taking anybody.
This anybody is
Daniel Jones. Rodgers hasn't won. He hasn't won in years.
Thank you, Tommy. Very nice, succinct answer.
What happened to Tommy is now Strahan. He might as well just be waving any anti-Giant. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's not true. That is not. Just because Tommy's See, you're getting confused like Toomer. Just because he's critical of the Giants.
This guy
sat here yesterday and said Strahan's number should be unretired. How could you say that about him?
How could you pound the microphone every week talking about how this team could win games for Tommy DeVito, and then I present you Aaron Rodgers and go, oh, they didn't ever win with him.
Well, forget the Tommy DeVito thing.
But that adds up.
No, it's not related to the conversation.
Well, he just loves Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm just looking for a look at this.
What am I, your 80-year-old father? Are you talking about me when I'm
in the room? He sees Tommy DeVito as himself.
Yes.
All right, who do they win more games with next year, Aaron Rodgers or Tommy DeVito?
DeVito. I mean, that's obvious.
Come on, that's a layup. Let's go to Eric in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Evan, Tiki, how are you, gents?
We're good. What's up, dude?
Good, what's up?
Great conversation. And I mean, I guess right out of the gate, how bad do both franchises have to be when we're talking about a realistic scenario where they're swapping quarterbacks and that's progress?
Exactly.
That's
right.
Insane.
That is exactly
right. I mean,
right.
Absolutely unreal. But I think
it's a day in February, Eric. It's a day in February. That's all it is.
Yeah, for real. It is just absolutely exhausting as a Jets fan. And I'll say this, and you just real quick on the Giants and Amani, but you got to have a word with your boy Amani, because that, even as a Jets fan, is, I don't know what Strahan was doing, but that's egregious. So anyway, on the Jets, it's a real problem. I mean, I'm really excited, you know, that you know, with the new regime, I'm really excited that they were able to accomplish this conversation with Rodgers without anybody finding out. I mean, that's an improvement for the Jets. So I think this new regime is telling that there's a new vision. There's clearly a new sheriff. And they told Rodgers, you can be one of 53 or we're going to walk. He didn't want that. So
you're right. And the most important thing, you hit on it, is that here are the early signs of the Aaron Glenn era Jets. Things aren't leaking until they want it to leak.
Right.
And he's running the show. The one thing I didn't want to hear is that Woody Johnson decided. And Aaron Woody Glenn decided.
I know someone called us yesterday and said this was a Woody thing. It absolutely was not a Woody thing.
And that's all I want to hear. That's all I want to hear. Aaron Glenn is the decider. And that's what this organization needs to have right now. Pete's in Queens. Good afternoon, Pete.
Evan, Tiki, great show. Love you guys.
Appreciate it.
Really quick, where do we start with Michael Strahan? Listen, long time Giant fan, right? Diehard Giant fan.
Yeah, yeah.
You do not root for the Eagles, right? But with that said, right, I'm not going to bury the guy. I'm not going to disown him. I'm not going to unretire his number. He did bring us a Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
So, with that said, not that big of a deal. Yesterday, you guys were talking about if Jeter would have ever done anything like that. You remember that?
Yes. WWJD.
What would Jeter do?
Right. Jeter would never do that. Do you remember, I'm not sure if it was this year, when Big Papi was trying to give Jeter a Boston Red Sox jersey?
Yeah, he threw it down. Now, I do think that is different. We talked about this yesterday. Like, I'm glad Jeter did that. He was gifted a Red Sox jersey from David Ortiz. The real test would be, there's a former Yankee on the Red Sox that he really likes, and that guy's like, hey, wave a Red Sox flag. But Jeter wouldn't do it. He wouldn't. No legend in this town would.
No.
And so that's the mistake that Michael Strahan made. But what Michael Strahan is able to do, because I think he's very, very good at this, and I say this from afar. I've never met Michael Strahan, but believe it or not, Tiki, when I first started with Joe, he was our weekly spot for a year.
Is that right?
Now, he would never remember that. you can tell him right. He would never remember it. But Michael Strahan has this ability to get you in the palm of his hands and make you like him. Okay? And so as mad as we all are at him, I would make you this prediction. If he came on and had some fun, by the time the interview ended,
right,
Tommy would be like, you know.
No, he possesses that.
Bathing with him, basically, right. In love.
That's right.
Yes.
And it's why I don't judge him on this. Because how do I best put this? Michael's in a spot in his life where he doesn't have to care what
that's
you think
true,
about
that's true.
Him.
He doesn't.
He doesn't care what you think about
it. Are you trying to tell me that you don't think Michael Strahan lost an ounce of sleep?
No.
That Tommy Lugauer said his number should be retired yesterday?
I don't.
You know
I
what?
Don't
I'm, think so. I'm glad you used that
because,
phrase.
Because Mike is, first of all, he is a great dude. I know you said he sounds like it. It seems like he'll make you love him by the time you leave. That is absolutely the fact. And I'll never forget going to lunch with him. I don't know, this was probably a decade plus ago. And we went somewhere on the Upper West Side. And we left the restaurant. And it was like all these like housewives. Like, Michael. I'm like, dude, you have truly crossed. Like, like it's not fans. Like, oh, I remember the Super Bowl. It was no football fans. It's the average American that loves Michael Strahan. And so you could have whatever sports opinion you want about him. It's not where his life is right now.
Evan brought up the not sleeping at night. Did Michael Strahan embarrass John Mara with that bit? The answer is he did. So how about having a little loyalty to the franchise that made you the star you are and not embarrass a guy that is held in the highest of esteem for a bit?
Now you're speculating. You don't know that John Mara is embarrassed.
I was going to ask you, do you think, because he is speculating, that's fine, we speculate. Do you think John Mara was pissed about that?
No.
You think he chuckled about it?
I think every owner in the NFL, when they see success from somebody else that is also an owner, says, cha-ching.
No, no, but I mean the Strahan waving the Eagle flag. Like, just, he did say he couldn't sleep at night if Saquon was there.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
We don't view it this way because we're fans, or at least you guys are fans.
Mm-hmm.
This is a business, and it's a collective business. When one does great, everybody else does great. So it's hard not to see it in that context when you know about it. You know what I mean? And so the fans are a big part of why this is a massive 20-plus, probably $25 billion industry, and it's only getting bigger and bigger. But I don't think it is as cutthroat and I hate you, I can't stand you, as fans make it about themselves.
Well, but he
like
did.
The Giant fan and the Eagle fan hate each other. I don't think the Giant owner and the Eagle owner hate each other.
I don't think
the Giant general manager and the Eagle general manager hate each other. I don't think that ire that exists from a fan standpoint, and maybe sometimes from an on-field standpoint, it trickles up.
But
I don't think it's that way.
But he didn't want Saquon on the Eagles. That's the thing we all saw.
Of course he didn't want Saquon on the Eagles, for the same reason I didn't want Saquon on the Eagles. Not because you were done with him and you hate him, but because you know he's going to kick your ass for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I said that the day it happened. You're more pissed off because Saquon is good, really good. And this year he proved he's great. And now the Giants, as a rival to the Eagles, have to deal with that until he retires.
More of your calls at 888-808-1019. Aaron Rodgers is gone. Daniel Jones makes a lot of sense for the Jets. And Giant fans are still ticked off at Michael Strahan. When the New York Giants attack the quarterback position, because they really do, they have nobody under contract. Even Tommy DeVito's not really on the team. He's an exclusive rights free agent. That you draft either third overall or second or third round, doesn't have to be third overall, and you pair it with a veteran quarterback. To me, I rank the four that are very likely to be available as Rodgers number one, Derek Carr number two, Stafford number three, not because he isn't as good, but because I don't think he would buy in to the situation he would be put into, which is the potential of being benched 8-9 weeks into the season,
right,
followed by Russell Wilson.
Look, I say I want Stafford. I'm not saying Stafford wants us.
That's kind of important.
Because the reality is, so like Aaron Rodgers may be desperate just because there's not going to be a ton of teams interested in a 41-year-old quarterback who had a subpar season, at least half of a season last year. Because he actually ended up pretty good numbers-wise, as we've talked about multiple times. But Matthew Stafford, if he is somehow loosened from the Rams, there's going to be a lot of suitors. He's 37 years old.
I agree.
Tons of talent left in him.
I agree.
And he's going to want to go someplace where he can win right away or potentially impact the team to winning right away.
That's why you can make him number one. I just don't think it fits.
Right. I'm just saying who I want.
No, I get you. How would you rank him, Shawnee?
Okay. I want to add a caveat here.
Sure.
Because I do think we're missing somebody that I want to remove Derek Carr. Am I allowed to do that and just give you my four?
Sure.
Okay. My number one is going to be Matt Stafford. I also disagree with you guys slightly. I think if Matt Stafford comes here, it's going to be kind of the knock on Russell Wilson. I think he's coming here because his wife wants to continue to advance her career.
Oh, so you think it's going to be a similar thing?
What did she do?
She hosts a pretty successful podcast, and she stated on like a podcast, like she's always down for an adventure. And I think the breadcrumbs of hiring her brother here, she's also had like a lot of health stuff. I think if Matt Stafford's coming here, it's because she ultimately wants to come to New York.
And you're okay with him being the guy the entire season.
I absolutely am, and I think to me, Matt Stafford represents something I don't think Brian Daboll and Joe Shane envisioned 3 months ago, and I don't think many envisioned when the Giants decided to keep Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, which was, well, you know these guys are gone in a year because the schedule's hard. He is a golden parachute. He is a leader that this locker room desperately needs, and he's also a highly skilled quarterback that can also excel the advancement of Wandell Robinson, Malik Nabers, and like we forget because of the lack of quarterback. These guys have to grow and make those guys successful. So I think for all of those, all the boxes check, and I wouldn't mind sitting a rookie for a whole year.
Yeah, can I add something to that,
sure,
Sean, briefly? He also is a collaborator. So one of the things that just you've heard anecdotally, maybe even specifically from certain analysts, is that Sean McVay and him work together to put an offense together. It's not like, this is what you're doing. Do you understand? Execute it. It was, tell me about this. What do you like about this? What do you like about that? Let's craft this collaboratively. And I think that's valuable. When you have a veteran that can operate that way, it's really valuable for the growth of the whole team because everybody ends up learning it together as opposed to here's a book, learn it, and then we're going to go execute it. It's just different, right? When it's hands-on, you know, from my brain, this is how I envision it. Great. Well, let's tweak it this way. Let's tweak it that way. All right, now we got a working model. Let's make this thing work. He has the ability to do that. That's what Matt Stafford brings. There's certain other veterans that are also that way, but Matt Stafford is particularly that way.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. My number two quarterback is somebody you left off that I don't think not enough people are talking about that will start to get talked about in March.
Go ahead.
Jimmy Garoppolo. No, you can all you want. He did. He was good enough to get a team to a Super Bowl. And here's what I like about Jimmy Garoppolo.
He just got so injured.
Yeah, like, he just couldn't stay healthy.
I liked him, to be honest with you. He just couldn't stay healthy, and it soured me on him.
And now he's gone away as a backup. We always talk about these guys that kind of hide for a year under McVay. And also, that's not a guy I'm going to be afraid to pull the plug on for a rookie.
34.
He's not even that old.
Actually, I correct myself. He's 33. He'll be 34 in the middle of November. You know why I didn't include him? And I know this may not be fair. Because I don't think he's on the same level as those other guys. Yes, he's a veteran who'd be available. But
here's the thing. If you're looking, Evan, for that guy who will take a back seat.
Oh, he fits that.
That's what I'm talking about. That.
But you know what he doesn't fit? Even though he's got this great career record. Remember, he would like win every game to start his career. Yes. I don't think he gives you a great chance to win.
No, that's true.
So it's fine to put him there.
I'm just saying, personally, I'm intrigued by the fact that he was with McVay for a year. And I think that's not a guy you're afraid to pull the plug on. Third for me would be Russell Wilson. I'm not excited about it, but I understand it. And I also think when you hit the fourth stop, again, the team, you know, you brought up the 4-6 scenario. The team owes nothing to Russell Wilson if you go to a rookie. And that's why I have Aaron Rodgers at 4. And I was, like, very much higher on this a couple weeks ago. And seeing the Aaron Glenn divorce and whatever's going on there, if the team gets out of contention in December with Matt Stafford and they say, we took this rookie at third overall, we want to get a look, I don't think Matt Stafford is going to put up a stink and put up a fit. I just don't know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be receptive to that.
You think he goes on Pat McAfee early December?
Yeah, like, here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers may be the best sport of all, I'm overthinking this. It's just too much of a wild card for me to rank him above the other three on things that could go wrong on a bad team in a bad year and him have to sit down.
I'll get to Tommy's rankings in a second. Let me get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Mike is in Bayonne. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing this afternoon?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to run something by. I've been thinking about this the last couple of days. The only quarterback veteran-wise that I'd be interested to, if they can pull it off, would be Stafford. Stafford not only would bring a winning culture to the locker room, which this organization desperately needs, but they can go a different route with the number three pick in the draft. They could take a beast like Abdul Carter, or they can go Hunter and then grab their franchise future quarterback in the second round, like a Jackson Dart or Milroe, so he can sit a year or two. Stafford would definitely bring that winning culture to the organization, like I said, and if they could put a package together for Stafford and Kupp, this team would instantly turn around.
The one thing,
they want to get rid of Cooper Kupp.
No doubt about it. So, yeah, sure, you could probably get him for nothing. The one thing I kind of find funny about Matthew Stafford and his winning culture is that he wasn't a part of a winning culture until he joined Sean McVay.
Yeah, but
so he, was it McVay or was it Stafford?
No, I think it was the ineptitude of the Detroit Lions.
They were inept, I give you that.
It was mostly, I mean, how many times did they have zero defense? Well, literally one of the worst defenses in football. Bottom third.
They were terrible.
Almost every single season.
I agree with him.
And bottom a lot of those seasons. And so But I remember having these conversations with people about Matthew Stafford when this trade went down, because your initial thought is, yeah, but he never won.
Right.
He's a good quarterback. He never won.
74-90 as a starting quarterback in Detroit.
But then you'd hear these people who know what they're talking about, like the quarterbacks, his peers, the quarterback coaches around the league, and they start raving on him like they do Pat Mahomes.
Right.
Oh, he's the arm slots and the you know, is the IQ and the, you know, above the X's and O's and his ability to be, I don't know, a master at the line of scrimmage. Like, all those things you never thought about when he was in Detroit. But then he goes to L.A. and you see all those things. It's like, dude, they didn't just happen. He always had them. They was just masked by the terrible team that he played for so many years.
Let's go to John in Huntington. Hey, John.
How we doing, boys? Just want to piggyback off the last caller said. I totally agree that Stafford has definitely got to be the guy. He changes the locker room, and he actually makes the line better just by being Matt Stafford.
with a couple veterans they added last year, with JMS year three, literally, and if the Giants do trade back in the draft, get like a Will Campbell, and then get Milroe or Dart, who I think both are way more talented and have way more experience than Ward and Shedeur Sanders. That's just my personal opinion.
Right.
But those guys should definitely be seasoned for a season behind him and then worked in possibly year two. And then him being in the room with both of those guys who do have 3 and 2 years experience in college, that I think is the trend of what the NFL is going to with quarterbacks. You look at every successful quarterback with has been drafted the last couple of years. They have multiple years in college.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good surrounding around them. And, you know, I just think that all the pieces that, you know, in the receiver room,
right,
you know, Stafford unlocked
the reality is Shedeur Sanders has an extensive amount of time in college. I mean, 3 years, Jackson State, and then 2 at Colorado. Cam Ward, he was at Washington State and was prolific there as well before transferring to Miami and having an unbelievable season. So I think all of these guys that you're talking about, those top two, but also Jackson Dart and Jalen Milroe, they all have college experience. It's not as if you're getting a Sam Darnold who played a season and a half at USC and then came into the league and, you know, was protected mostly because their run game was so good with Thomas Jones in those early years. But I think it's less about that. It's just more about which one do you think has the biggest upside.
That's what it comes down to.
Ultimately, that's what you got to look at.
And you don't want to get too cute about it. Like, if you watch the tape and actually come away thinking, you know what, Jackson Dart's going to be the best of the group.
Yeah.
Which is certainly possible. We've seen, I mean, look at Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick. Patrick Mahomes wasn't the first quarterback taken.
Bo Nix. Most people thought he was going to fall into the second round.
Yeah. Don't get too cute with it.